Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, have you noticed how many books are being released right now based on the author doing some kind of stunt? You had A.J. Jacobs trying to live out every Old Testament law in the Bible, and he calls the book his Year of Living Biblically. You've got Elizabeth Gilbert traveling the world in search of herself and calling the book Eat, Pray, Love. Julie Powell attempts to cook all 524 recipes in a French cookbook within a year, and she tells the story in Julie and Julia. Call it shticklit, as some are calling it. Call it the quest narrative, as some others are saying. Whatever you call it, the genre is the latest trend. Now, that got me thinking. What makes a particular book genre popular in a given time? John Dale is head of creative practices at the University of Technology, Sydney, and the author of six books of both fiction and non-fiction. He's a kind of an expert in this whole area of genre. And with us now, John Dale, welcome.
Good evening, Sheridan.
Let's start with this current trend of the quest narrative, if we want to call it that. One academic I read suggested the trend can be linked to a crisis of belief, either in religion or of humanity, and it kind of reflects a sense of meaninglessness. Now, you know, kind of the idea we want to live a more authentic life, so we go out and do something for a year to try and make our life a little bit more snazzy, so to speak. Do you think the trend is simply a cash cow, or does it reflect something deeper than that?
I think this particular trend of, as you call it, shtick list, is sort of represents something from the moment. But I think the quest as a narrative is one of the oldest narrative structures known to Western literature. So you've got Homer's Odyssey, Dante's The Divine Comedy, Tolkien's Lord of the Ring. So that's a much larger narrative that's always appealed to Western writers, but this particular sort of subgenre of it, of trying to emulate reality or doing something to gain attention, I think that's mainly to get publicity.
Mm-hmm. Just a bit of a publicity stunt where we can, I guess, some of these authors actually keep a blog as well and say, well, I'm going to be doing this over the next 365 days, follow me, and then at the end of the event, you've actually got a nice audience to sell your book to, too.
Yeah, and it's usually made into the film as well about the example you mentioned with the cook.
Yes.
Julie and Julia.
Yes, or a documentary or something like that. So the quest narrative, going back to the classic types then, those illustrations that you mentioned are actually often very much about the meaning of life, aren't they?
They are, and they have a very strong appeal to human nature in that the quest narrative is a sort of, in a way, sort of a metaphor for life, the journey out to some land. And so those major works in Western civilization are usually quest narratives.
Well, let's talk about when a genre then becomes popular, because we've had a resurging interest, of course, in recent years of Lord of the Rings. We haven't seen Homer's Odyssey make it onto the film screen yet in recent times, but I wonder whether there is something in us maybe thinking about those things more these days, given the fact we've seen a few of those quest kind of narratives either come back in book form or film form or something like that. Is there anything to that?
Well, I think this is really true what you mentioned earlier on, that a genre is a way of looking at the world, and certain genres are popular at different times in history. I mean, the Western's a very good example. The Western, which once dominated television, the cinema and paperback novels in the first half of the 20th century, is now endangered as a genre because the Western was related to nature and the idea of living by a strict moral code, the sort of cowboy spirit, if you will. And it just doesn't have the same resonance for us today in our urban lives. So it's a genre that's sort of faded. But I often think that genre might come back in the future when space travel becomes reality, because Americans always refer to space travel as the new frontier.
The new frontier, of course.
And I've often thought the Star Wars films contain strong elements of the Western genre.
Mm. Well, in fact, Star Wars actually started off with something, some sort of phrase like that at the beginning, didn't it?
Does it?
I straight away thought of Star Wars too. I think it was something about the next frontier or the new frontier. So Westerns
do come in and out of fashion, and they sort of do. They represent more than just the genre. They represent some relation to the time. That's true.
Yes. Fantasy literature. I once heard that we turn to fantasy when we want to escape an overly scientific, mechanistic kind of view of the world. Is there anything to that?
Possibly. I mean, I think generally fantasy appeals to children, but we mentioned Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, which is an epic fantasy and appeals to all ages. So with Philip Pullman, who's also popular now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fantasy is a genre where readers sort of seek a safe destination. It's often connected to exile, to setting off from home and arriving in a strange land. So the quest works very well. The quest narrative works very well with the fantasy genre. And fantasy is very, very popular. No doubt about it.
Is fantasy and science fiction the same kind of thing? Are they often lumped together as a genre, or are they completely different?
Well, people now... In fiction, there are eight genres of popular fiction. There's romance, crime fiction, science fiction, fantasy, horror, western, historical popular fiction, and adventure. But often publishing houses that do fantasy often do science fiction and call it speculative fiction.
Right. And so...
I don't read a lot of fantasy myself, so it's not my...
Yes, not your focus. It would be fascinating to know where science fiction has its life cycle, when it kind of sees its ebbs and flows in popularity.
Yeah, I think science fiction's very underrated. It doesn't seem to be that popular now, but some of the best films that have been made, in my opinion, have been science fiction, from Blade Runner and Alien and films like that.
John Dale is with us on Open House, head of creative practices at the University of Technology, Sydney. We're talking about genres and book trends and what those... The popularity of a particular genre or a trend, what does it actually say about the society in which it's kind of being birthed from, the time that it's actually coming up and becoming popular again in? Happy to take your call on that too, 1-300-40-2020, if you've seen some sort of, I don't know, changing, morphing, a change of your, you know, what you see as popular and why, what was going on in your life when you decided to pick up Tolkien's Lord of the Rings again? Or perhaps... Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series. I mean, that's the vampire genre, the horror genre, whatever you want to call it, John. Why have we seen, do you think, the return of the vampire genre at this point in time with Stephanie Meyer's hugely successful series?
Well, I think vampire novels and films have always done remarkably well since the beginning of the 20th century when Bram Stoker's Dracula was first published. And I think that has been one of the most influential books ever written in any genre. I mean, obviously, vampire movies and books are about sexual awakening, and they sort of have a particular appeal for teenagers who experience sort of sexual anxieties about purity and lust. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen The Twilight, but I know it's about teenage girls and appeals particularly to teenage girls and their sort of struggles with being chaste and romance and boys. It's the vampire genre is closely related to the romance genre, and is one of the most enduring genres of all, I think. Many people say the vampire genre will live on for thousands of years and never die.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Very interesting.
It's a very popular genre. It's a very influential work, that Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
Because it keeps coming back, as you say. It's now in vogue. In the 70s, it was in vogue with Interview with a Vampire, and then there was the Buffy books or films.
Never goes away. Romance? I probably can't see you as somebody who would read a lot of romance, but you certainly know about the genre. Does that have a life cycle or a popularity cycle, or is it just always kind of popular?
Romance is interesting because it's perhaps the most formulaic of all the genres. There are very strict conventions if you write romance. I mean, it's about the concept of love, of course, and while there are men and women always falling in love, I don't think romance will ever go out of fashion. And it's a sort of a huge industry on its own if you're a romance writer. It's lately broadened into various subgenres. You have gothic romance and modern romance. And I think chick lit, in a way, has sort of emerged from the romance genre. Mm-hmm. It's become a sort of subgenre of the romance. And that's borrowed heavily from Jane Austen with films like Clueless and books like Bridget Jones's Diaries. As you know, chick lit appeals predominantly to women in their 20s and 30s who are sort of very independent. And it crosses genres, chick lit. You have the straight romance chick lit book, or you might have the crime chick lit, such as Janet Ivanovich, which is very popular.
Oh, yes. Yeah, my wife's read a bit of Janet Ivanovich.
A few too, then.
Yeah. Yeah, because of that crime aspect. In fact, you've written a bit of crime yourself. Let's talk about the crime genre and what that really is talking about.
Well, crime is the most successful of all the genres today, and certainly the most prevalent. I mean, crime contains the most subgenres. There's the police procedural, the private eye, the legal thriller, the political thriller, etc. It's a very busy, crowded genre that encompasses all nationalities, genders and social types. So it's perfectly suited to the modern metropolis or the big city. If you turn on your television any day of the week, you'll find a mystery or a whodunit or a cop show or all three probably on at the same time. The interesting thing about crime is that it's replaced the Western in America as the predominant genre. Elmore Leonard, who you might know of, is my favourite crime writer, and he started off writing Westerns and then turned to crime.
Mm. Now, what does that say? Why is that? Why have we seen that trend in America at the very least? And we kind of follow America in many ways. What's behind that?
Well, I think, again, as I mentioned earlier about the Western being to do with nature and the outdoors, and crime being to do more with the urban city, and it's related to death and corruption, I guess, and the corruption at the heart of our government and our police force and those sorts of things. So I think people are, I don't know whether they suspect there's corruption at various levels, but it seems to have a huge appeal, and it's just growing and growing if you look at TV shows and books that come out. And recently the Miles Franklin winner was a crime writer, the first time ever.
Mm.
I think if Dostoevsky was writing today, he'd be writing crime.
Do you? Okay. Huh. Now poetry, let's end on poetry. Poetry has kind of, does have its peaks and troughs in terms of popularity. Are we seeing a rise or a decrease in popularity in poetry?
Well, I think poetry is very fundamental to our existence and our language. We have some really great poets in this country, and I don't think it's appreciated enough and probably taught or enjoyed enough in schools and universities, and I work in a university, but I think poetry is making a resurgence. It's coming back. Small poetry readings and the study of some of our poets. It's very underappreciated, though, previously, and I hope it does make a comeback, poetry.
Any genre that you can see may well be making a comeback in the near future, as you look at society and how we're changing.
Well, if I look at those eight sort of genres, I think they'll all come back at various times. As I say, the Western might come back in to do with space travel, and some of them will combine. I can see the Western and science fiction coming together in the future, but I think they all have their cycles. So at the moment, as you say, we're experiencing a lot of vampire movies and a lot of crime, but they reflect the period they emerge from.
Yes, all right. Fascinating to talk to you, John. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jaron.
John Dale, who is an author and head of creative practices at the University of Technology, Sydney, talking about genres and their popularity. When do they come in? When do they go out?
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.